Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see you in church this morning. Oh, I've been enjoying this. The Lord is here. He inhabits the praises of his people, and we've been praising him, and he shows up. Dave, I forgot to tell you, we get to light the candle today. For those of you who are guests, whenever someone comes to personal faith in Jesus Christ, the previous week, we light this candle. And last Sunday morning in the second service, I felt compelled of the Lord to give an invitation. And sure enough, there was a young lady, it was her second time in church, two kids, surrendered her heart to the Lord. And I talked to her on the phone later in the week, and she said, I want to get in that Christianity 101 class, and I want to be baptized. So she meant it. And so praise the Lord. We light the candle today. And now I would like you, as we prepare for the message, to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. I'm going to make some of you feel bad, but I just am curious. How many of you bring your Bibles? Hold it up. I want to see Bibles. Okay, many of you do. Many of you do. Good for you. If you don't bring a Bible, you can still get by because we'll have all the scripture on the screen. But I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 25. The advantage of having your own Bible is you can read all around the whole thing, you know, and we're going to really look at this whole chapter, and you can read all that as I preach and check on me, make sure that what I'm giving you is the right stuff. Do you ever have a regret? All of us have regrets. You know, why did I take on this project? Why did I buy this house? Why am I stuck in a lousy job? You know, and all of us can have those regrets. I can't believe I said that. And there are different things that can cause us regret. Not spending enough time with our kids, or being too harsh in our discipline with our children, or a failed diet. It's March 5th. How you guys doing? A failed diet, a failed marriage, not reaching out to someone that you knew you should have, not saying goodbye to someone before they died. There are all kinds of things that we can have that are regrets. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So we're going to look at Abigail, a woman in the Bible of great character. And just to get us started, I'm going to start reading at the second part of verse 1. If your Bible has paragraph markings, you'll see where I'm going to, then David is where I'm going to start. And just going to read a couple of verses. Then David moved down into the desert of Maon. A certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. But her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. Now that's just to get us started. Leave your Bibles open if you have it there, because we're going to look at this whole chapter and the relationship between Abigail and her mean and surly husband. Here was a woman who knew what regret was all about. The scripture says that she was an intelligent and beautiful woman. She was a fox. This is the biblical account of Beauty and the Beast. That's what this marriage was all about. Now, the name Abigail is based on the Hebrew word Abba. We are to call our Heavenly Father Abba. What does Abba mean? Abba means daddy. It's a very familiar term that a child would use for a father. Father is very formal. Father. You know, and we come, and those of us, and you've heard me refer to myself as a professional prayer, we come out in our Heavenly Father. You know, but we're supposed to come to him and say, Papa, or Daddy, or something like that. Well, that's what Abba means. And Abigail means Daddy's Delight. Isn't that a great name? Daddy's Delight. I'm assuming that Abigail must have had a really sweet father. You know, because biblical names always speak of deeper truths, and I think Abigail really was Daddy's delight, and there was a wonderful relationship between this Abigail when she was a girl still at home and her daddy. Now, Nabal means fool. Again, Bible names have deep meanings that speak of a truth, and here is the fool that's married to Daddy's delight. And he was harsh and mean. He was stubborn. He really was a fool. Now, I'm sure that Daddy, when he married his daughter Abigail off, probably was doing the best he could for her because he found for his daughter a rich husband, a descendant of Caleb, one of the heroes of the nation of Israel. And, you know, it would be like me saying to my daughter, I found a descendant of George Washington who's very rich, and I'm going to let you marry him. I'm sure Daddy had good intentions, but it turned out to be a bad marriage that was filled with regret. But we're going to look at Abigail, and we're going to find out that she did her very best in a difficult situation. Let me give you the narrative of what's in this chapter. And you can read it for yourself, and you'll see that I'm doing my best to summarize what happens in this chapter. But it was sheep shearing time in Carmel. And this was always a festive time, and people who were wealthy, like Nabal was wealthy, would throw banquets and parties. And it was a time to be generous. It was a time to celebrate the goodness of God and all he had given us by sharing it freely. And so people who were wealthy, like Nabal, would invite their neighbors in, and they'd say, I'm going to have a feast. Come on and enjoy this. And even an enemy at that time could approach someone and say, can you help me out? Can you give me something? It was the custom in ancient Israel to do that. Now, David was fleeing from King Saul. And the background of that is God had destined David to be the next king after Saul, and Saul hated David. It wasn't his son. Saul wanted the kingdom to go to his son. But here was David, this upstart, and so Saul threatened David's life, and David fled for his life, but he had 600 faithful soldiers who were with him. Now, 600 mouths to feed is a challenge. Now, all through that season, David had been near Nabal's flocks and protected them. He watched over them. And in this chapter, it literally says, as long as David was there around his flocks, it was like there was a wall of protection. And David watched over and made sure that everything went well for those shepherds, that nobody would raid them, no wild animal would get to their sheep. And then when the harvest time came, David sent some emissaries to Nabal and said, hey, is there anything you can do for us? And Nabal, his mean, stupid, stubborn attitude, he said, who is David, this son of Jesse? He's nobody to me. I just see him as a rebel, and I don't care for him. And it was very insulting and rebuffed these emissaries. And so the emissaries went back to David and said, Nabal says no. Not only that, but he was very insulting. And David got angry, furiously angry. Now, he had 600 soldiers, so he said, now, I'm just going to leave 200 of you here to guard the camps. But 400 of you, get your swords and come with me. This is definitely overkill. 400 soldiers? And he heads off to Nabal with the intent of slaughtering every man, all his servants, male servants. And easily could be done with 400 soldiers. Now, the servants of Nabal went to Abigail, this intelligent and beautiful wife, and said, oh, we're in trouble. Here's what happened. And they told Abigail what Nabal had done. Abigail immediately gathered up a lot of supplies and food and sent it with her servants and said, take this to David, and I'm going to follow. And so she followed, and sure enough, here comes David, here comes Abigail together. And the scripture says she got down off of her, the, what she, the horse she was riding and got on her face before David, and she apologized. Let the blame be on me. I didn't see your emissaries come. Let fault me. And here's food for you. And then she challenged David. She said, really, you're going to be king one day. Do you want to have the memory one day that you killed a guy over this little silly thing? And David heard her and said, man, you're smart. Thanks for keeping me from doing a stupid thing. And so that's the story. And I want to give you some things about regret, three main points. And here's the first. When you're in a regretful situation, when you have regret, guard your own character. If other people around you are doing terrible things and you're in a situation, in a relationship, you have to guard your own character. And Abigail was known for her intelligence. And in verse 14 of this chapter, we see that even her servants knew, we can go to Abigail. She's so smart, and we can confide in her, and she'll help us. She's a good woman. And Abigail literally blossomed in spite of a very difficult situation. And she chose not to be bitter or resentful. She didn't have any choice about the situation she was in, but she did have a choice about her own attitude. And she chose to guard her character. In James 1, in the New Testament, we read this, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. And Abigail, that was her attitude. And in verses 18, 23 through 24, let me read that to you. Abigail lost no time. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, my Lord, let the blame be on me alone. Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Your servant, she's referring to herself. Now, here's the interesting thing. She could have decided to just let things play out. Now think about what was going to happen here. Abigail knows this is bad. Nabal insulted David. David will probably come and kill my husband. And she could have had the attitude, yes, I will be deliverer. David will be my deliverer. That would have been a selfish thing, but she did the right thing. Wow. She chose to do the right thing when the wrong thing would have delivered her. Wow. I'm impressed with that. She even took the blame. You know, taking the blame is a Jesus thing. When Jesus went to the cross, he took your blame and my blame. Our sins were nailed to the cross with him. Whenever you feel like you're unjustly accused of something that you didn't do, but somehow the blame falls on you, in that moment, you're like Jesus. Well, here's the next thing. See the big picture of God's plan. Somehow, even though Abigail was in the Old Testament, she understood a New Testament concept. The New Testament concept is all things work together for good to those that love God. All things work together for good to those that love God. Let me tell you, I mentioned a young lady gave her heart to the Lord last Sunday, and I had the opportunity this week to just do some discipling with her, and she began to tell me some terrible things that were in her own life. And she said, people tell me that to just understand that God has a plan. And then she asked this question, does God plan this bad stuff? I had the opportunity to tell her, and now I'm going to tell you, no. God doesn't plan bad stuff, but God redeems bad stuff. God does not create poverty. He does not create divorce. God does not create automobile accidents that kill people. God does not create drug overdoses. God doesn't do that stuff. But when that stuff happens, if we're trusting in him and turn it over to him, he can bring good out of it. That's the wonderful thing about our redeeming God. He is a God who redeems. He takes what's bad and makes it good. And I believe that Abigail knew God has a plan, and I'm going to trust in him. And so in verse 28, please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord, referring to David, for you, David, because you fight the Lord's battles. And no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Here she was saying, God intends for you to be king. You're going to be king one day, David. God has a plan for you. Don't mess it up. Now, I want you to know in chapter 26, the very next chapter, David had an opportunity to assassinate King Saul and become king, to get rid of his enemy, to not be on the run anymore. But in chapter 25, Abigail reminds him, don't take things into your own hands. Don't do anything you'll regret. Just trust God. And so when David was confronted with the opportunity to assassinate King Saul, I think the words of Abigail were still in his ears. And he said, literally with that opportunity, I will not touch God's anointed king. God put him there. I'm going to leave him there. I'm not going to do the wrong thing. And I think Abigail was speaking wisdom to David, and he followed through with it. In verse 29, Abigail says, even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. She was saying, it's going to be all right. Trust God. And what a phrase. The life of my master will be found securely in the bundle of the living. Oh, those are good words. Good words. Here's the third thing that I want you to see about Abigail that we should do. We need to help others avoid regret. Verses 30 and 31, when the Lord has done for my master every good thing he has promised concerning him, and has appointed him leader over Israel, my master will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. Abigail was saying, don't you take on a regret. She was protecting everybody. I'm so impressed with that. She was protecting her husband Nabal from David coming and killing him. She was protecting David from regret. She was protecting the men of Nabal's household, all his servants. She was protecting the name of God himself. She was keeping the Lord from having a sorrow over David. She was protecting everybody when she was the one who could have really benefited by the death of Nabal. Abigail awakened David's conscience, and she did it with blessing. Let me speak a word to you wives as I look at this. There's a way to confront a man, and I think Abigail's a good example of how to confront a man. She didn't go out there with her finger pointing. She didn't go out there and call David names. She just said, basically this, very humbly. She was down on her face, humbly, asking, could you just listen to me for a moment? Humbly asking, can you just listen to me? You're a good man. God has plans for you. And I don't want you to have regrets. She challenged him in a very gracious, humble way. And I think that's a challenge to a lot of ladies. And so I just share that with you. And let me tell you how this story turns out. She went back home, Abigail, and David said, thanks for the warning. All threats are off, you know, we're good now. David leaves, Abigail goes back home. And when she gets back home, Nabal is having a big banquet. He's drunk. I mean, he's having this big feast. And so Abigail says, I'll just wait till tomorrow and tell him. So she waits till the next day, and she said, Nabal, here's what happened. You need to know about this. And she tells him that David was coming to kill him because of his insults and rebuff. And at that moment, Nabal had a stroke. It says he became like a stone. And 10 days later, he died. Now, I just want to say this. God took care of Nabal. But I also want you to know, God took care of Abigail. You want to know what happened next with Abigail? Word gets to David that Nabal died, had a stroke and died. And David said, Abigail's a widow, and she is a beautiful, smart, gracious woman. I want her. And he sent emissaries to Abigail saying, David wants to know if you'll marry him. And she went from being the wife of a mean, stubborn fool to the wife of the future king. God took care of Abigail. Trust God in your regret. God will see you through. But let me here's what I want to say about Abigail. Didn't go and do the right thing because she thought, my husband will have a stroke and I'll get to be David's wife. That's not why she did it. She had no ulterior motive. She had no selfish motive. The only motive she had was, I'm going to protect people and I'm going to do the right thing, even if it costs me. That needs to be our attitude in all things. Do the right thing. So I want to encourage you, pursue righteousness in your regret. All of us have regrets. But seek the strength and the grace of the Lord in the middle of a trial that you're in. If you're in a bad situation because of your own poor choices, admit this is my own doing and turn it over to the Lord and repent of it. Be thankful for the regrets that God has kept you from. Be thankful that God kept you from making a wrong decision at some point. And though, by the way, this part of it is the hardest part because sometimes we don't recognize the curses that we've missed, the hardships that we've missed because God kept us from it. Because we never lived it. We never experienced it, so we don't know about it. But we need to know that there are bad things that could have happened to all of us, but somehow God protected us, and we need to be thankful for that. Angels watch over us, the Bible says. And God gives angels charge over us, and they keep us from hardship and anguish. And so pray for God's continued protection in your life. Pray for the Lord to give you wisdom in all of your decisions so that you don't make regretful decisions. I don't know what your regret is, but God knows. God knows what you're facing, and He knows your heart. He wants to give you strength and grace to deal with it. That's God's plan for you. So turn to Him and trust in Him. Lord Jesus, You know just who it is that has heard this message and they're saying, that's what I needed to hear today. That was for me. And so I pray for that person that You love so much that You ordained that I should preach this message on this day in their hearing at this time in their life. You coordinated all of that. And I thank You for that. Help that person. Give that person hope. Give that person perseverance. And we'll be thankful, Lord, for how You help. In Jesus' name, amen.